that have been redeemed. Well, the angels in heaven. Well, follow me down to Jordan Stream.
Angels in heaven.
You know that I thank you, Jesus. You know that I know I've been changed. You know that I angels. Well, I stepped in the water. The water was cold. You know I know. You know that I well, the angels in heaven. Well, if you don't believe that I've been redeemed.
Testimony. Anybody not ashamed or embarrassed to say, you know you've been shamed? You know who you used to be? You know who you are in Christ now? As the old saying go, I may not be all I should be, but I thank you, Lord Jesus, I ain't what I used to be. Glory, hallelujah to his name. Thank you, Lord. Jesus Christ has changing power. Don't get discouraged on when you look at your child or your husband, your wife, your family member, your good friend that's not saved, and you know the way they're living, you think if they go to hell, they're going to bust it wide open. Don't get discouraged.
That's right.
Because the same power
that's right
that changed your life and my life can change their life too. You just keep on praying and keep on believing and keep on showing them the love of Jesus. Check them when you need to check them, but check them in love. Don't check them out of any sense of superiority. No, you check them in love and say, listen, brother, listen, sister, I've been there too, but God loves you and God will answer your prayer. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord. Father Jesus, we just thank you now for the opportunity to pray and to preach and teach your word with clarity and conviction. And Lord God, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord Jesus, my strength and my redeemer. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We give honor to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity of Jehovah God. To my sisters and brother, we thank the Lord that Minister Daryl Mitchell is back with us again on today.
Amen.
We know that Gloria Reverend Stevenson is with her husband, and we continue to lift up Reverend Freeman in his illness. I thank the Lord for the deacons and trustees and auxiliary heads, every member of Roanoke Salem Missionary Baptist Church who's here today. And certainly we thank God again for those of you who are visiting with us on this morning. I'm going to ask you if you will turn in the New Testament to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. In the New Testament, the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, and I will be reading to you verses 7 through 10. I got these glasses a couple of weeks ago, and I ain't quite got the hang of these things yet. Y'all see me doing my head like that. It's not the spirit. It's just me trying to adjust. Because sometimes I can't quite see like I need to. Anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Let me read this from the New International because it's a little bit more concise for those who may be reading King James. I'm sorry, ushers, please be seated. Thank you all so much for your faithfulness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. This is from the New International Version. It says, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul. He's writing this. He says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations. Let me just read that one verse from the King James because I want you to get the real thought of this. From the King James, that verse number 7 says, and lest I should be exalted, I should be praised above measure through the abundance of these revelations. Okay, now I'm going back to the NIV, verse 8. This is what he says after verse 7. He says, or finishing verse 7, he says, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away, to take away this thorn in my flesh. Verse 9, but the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And he means in your weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And finally, verse 10. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Church family, just for a few minutes, let us please reason together from this thought. Rejoicing in my weaknesses. Rejoicing in my weakness. Some of you probably remember hearing me say at some point along the way here that I'm a comic book fan. And I know I've said that to the church family before. I'm a comic book fan. There are two major comic book companies, organizations, if you will, in America. One is DC Comics. That's Superman, Batman, The Flash, Wonder Woman, those folks, Green Lantern. But I'm a Marvel comic book fan. I love Marvel Comics. I love the Hulk and Iron Man. And I love the Black Panther and the Black Widow. Yeah, I love them folk. And one of the favorite characters of Marvel comic books that I love is Captain America. I love Captain America. Now, stay with me. Captain America was created by the writers and artists of Marvel Comics more than 50 years ago. Captain America is the leader of a team of superheroes called the Avengers. And I know most of you all, if you haven't seen one of the Avengers movies, you probably heard about them, because whenever they are released, they make gazillions of dollars. And some part of that is mine, because every time they make one, I go and I get me one of their DVDs as soon as they're available. So that's me. Captain America has the superhuman strength. That's one of his powers. And he has a superhuman agility, and he has increased mental and emotional focus. And Captain America, he got his superpowers. This is what I love about him. He was just a regular guy, like 5'9", 106 pounds, soaking wet, just a regular guy. But then because of a scientific experiment, he got these superpowers. Now, some of you may be wondering, why am I talking about a comic book character in a sermon? Here's why. Captain America is not a real person. We know that. But sometimes in his comic book world, he struggles with a problem that real people like you and me have. Amen. Here's the problem. The problem is that sometimes Captain America's superpowers are not enough to help him save the day. Yeah, he's got these superpowers. He's as strong as 100 men. He can run a 40 in 3.5 seconds. That's unheard of. Increase mental and emotional sharpness and ability. But sometimes even Captain America's superpowers will not help him save the day. And there are times in real life that you and I have to accept the fact that we don't have enough strength to overcome some problems that we have to deal with. Amen? Amen. Anybody willing to admit that? Amen. Sometimes we just don't have it. For this message, when I use that word strength or being strong, I'm not only talking about physical power or force, I'm also talking about mental and emotional power and toughness. It's in our human nature. It's in our human nature. Most of us, we love so-called strong people. We love to see folks do acts of great physical strength. We love to see folks lift weights, you know, like the person that sets a record, he or she can lift 400 or 500 pounds. That, you know, setting world record. We love that because we admire that kind of thing. We love to see people when we have different displays, folks are take a piece of a metal chain and they'll tie it to a train or they'll tie it to a car or airplane, and then they tie that other piece around their bodies and they just walk and they're pulling, you know, 500,000 ton, you know, or a ton of weight, just their own human body. We love that kind of stuff. We admire people who can do that. Those folks who can take a phone book, Ronald Grappa's phone book, it ain't that thick. Well, let's get a bigger city. Raleigh phone book. 2.5, 3 inches thick. We love folks who can stand there and rip that phone book apart, Steve, with their bare hand. There are folk that can do that. There are folk that have that kind of power, right? We love that. And then we are encouraged by the stories we hear from time to time of how mentally and emotionally strong some people are, especially when they're under stress. We love to hear about the folks who survive natural disasters. You know, the house fell in because the tornado came by, but They were right in the middle of it, but somehow they made it, right? Or they went down in the water when the car went over the cliff, or the car went over the bridge, and they jumped in there, and the person, or there was a person in the car. Some kind of way he or she was able to get out and swim to safety, right? We love hearing about those kind of stories. We love when we hear about when somebody's walking through the woods or in the jungle, and an animal comes out of nowhere and attacks them, and somehow, some way, the person is able to stay calm long enough and just out of that adrenaline fight for life, right? And fight the animal off. You know, they might be a little bitten up, chewed up, but they survive, right? We love to hear those stories. When people attack other folks for no reason, you know, just bullies and being mean, we love to hear how the 80-year-old grandma took her baseball bat beside her bed and beat that criminal half to death that broke into her house. Matter of fact, she beat him so bad, he called 911. She ain't have to call the police because he was calling saying, please come get me because granny about to kill me up in here. We love hearing about those things. We love people who have that kind of mental and emotional fortitude. And I don't believe it's wrong at all for us to celebrate people who have great physical, mental, and emotional strength. It's not wrong for us to celebrate them. It's nothing at all admiring strength. But if you have lived long enough, and it don't take long, you will know that there are times when our human strength is not enough to help us or to save us in some serious or life-threatening situations. The fact is, there always be people who are stronger than you and me physically. There always be people who are stronger emotionally, mental toughness than you and me. So there's no need for you to compare yourself to anybody else because there will always be somebody who's stronger than you and stronger than me. Amen? And so if you're in a situation where there's a bunch of us, Calvin, and you are stronger, and if you're stronger than me, that means I'm weaker than you, right? That's what that means. If you are stronger than me, that means I'm weaker than you. Amen. And weak people are around us, and some of us are weak. And the bad thing about that is that it's in our sinful nature that we tend to have low opinions of people we believe to be weak. Amen. Come on now. Y'all know y'all talked about somebody, and I have too, and we've been on the other side of that. You know, something strikes you emotionally and you tear up or you get emotional. And while some people are empathetic, there's somebody saying, why he crying? Why he tearing up? What wrong with her? Oh, they just weak. And we do. We tend to have low opinions of people who we consider to be weak. Let me give you some examples. We cheer the young man that plays football, but we kind of mock the one that plays in the band. Yeah. Amen. Unless it's your son. Now, if he's your son, your grandson, you know, he's the best drummer, best tuba player in the world. But somebody beside you going to ask you, well, what? That boy about 6'2", he weigh about 200 pounds. Why he ain't out there playing football? Because he don't want to. And that's okay. But that's our human nature. We admire people who have what we call type A personalities. Type A personalities, those are the folk, they're real, they're not mean or evil people, not at all. Some of them, though, are just very aggressive and very assertive. They're the kind of folk, they see something that needs to be done, you can either get on board and do it with them or get out their way. Because if you stand in their way, they're going to knock you aside. Not being mean, but just because their personality is, when something needs to be get done, I want to get it done. And I don't want any excuses from anybody who's not with me. Either get with me or get out my way. We admire those type of people. You know, when they rise to the top of companies and, you know, whatever else. And we say, oh, man, that's a really great person. But then the person who's less aggressive, the person who's not so assertive, we consider them to be passive. We might even say they're lazy. Yeah, see, your brother or your sister, they made all whatever. You didn't do that well. So somebody's going to compare the two of you and consider you less than because you're just not like that other person. That's all that is. I won't say this very delicately, but it is a good example. Even with all we know about childbearing, about women giving birth to children, right? Even with all we know about that, it's still kind of a understood or kind of a thought that most of us have that the woman who gives birth naturally is somehow stronger than the woman who had a C-section. That's how we kind of think. Because we say, oh, you know, back when I was coming along, when I was a little girl, my grandmama and them, they didn't even go to the hospital. And here these young ladies these days, they got to be pampered and they got, no. Sometimes there's a medical reason why people need C-sections. They can't give birth naturally without putting their own lives and the life of the child in danger. But a lot of us don't see it that way. We just look at where it was, what I did. And back in my day, so they just soft today. They weak compared to us. That's human nature. The perception of being weak can severely damage or destroy your life or your career if some people had control over our lives. But I thank the Lord Jesus that he has control over my life. Amen. I'm not in this thing by myself. I can go to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I can go to the one who set the stars in the sky. I can go to the one who said, let there be, and there was. And because of that, I can rejoice in my weakness because Jesus Christ is my strength. Amen? Give me a few more minutes. I'll be out your way. Most of us know that the Apostle Paul wrote this 2 Corinthians. This is really a letter. We call it the book of 2 Corinthians, but it's really a letter. It's the second letter that he wrote to the Christians living in the city of Corinth. Just a brief history about Paul for some who may not know. This man, his birth name was Saul, S-A-U-L. He was a Pharisee. He was a very learned leader in the religious sect and order of his day. He was from a place called Tarsus. Saul hated Christians. His mission in life was to stamp out all Christianity before it became too widespread. He had the authority of the government to arrest Christians, put them in jail, torture or kill them whenever he wanted to. But one day, somebody say one day. But one day, Saul was traveling on his way to find and arrest more Christians, and Jesus Christ showed up. Jesus appeared to Saul in a blinding light. He talked with Saul, and he told Saul that he had work for Saul to do. And I said this before, and I'll say it again. Please always keep in mind, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're from. I don't care who your mama was, your daddy was. I don't care where you work. If Jesus has something for you to do, you're going to do it. Amen. It might take you a little while to make up your mind you're going to do it. But if Jesus has something for you to do, you are going to do it. Jesus changed Saul's name to Paul. And Paul became the greatest evangelist in the history of the world. Paul did great works in the name of Jesus Christ. So much so that people began to heap praise on Paul. But Paul didn't take any of God's glory for himself. And that's a point for us. Don't take God's glory for yourself. I know you sing good, but it ain't because you singing all that good. I know you play good. I know you dress good. I know you made a whole bunch of money. I know you look good. You might look real good. Maybe you need to be in Hollywood somewhere. But none of that is because of you. None of that is because of you. The Lord just allowed it to be that way. So don't take God's glory. Here in chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul shares a strange story. Beginning in verse 1 and it goes through verse 6. Paul talks about another man in Christ. I believe it was the Apostle John. I can't confirm that, but I think it was John because of what Paul says happened. And Paul says this man that he knew of, that God took this man up into the heavens and gave him divine revelations. We think that's John because when he was out on the island of Patmos, but whoever it was, Paul says that he will celebrate that man, but he won't celebrate his own accomplishments. And Paul was very accomplished at this time. Paul is somewhat conflicted because he knows that people should be celebrating the fact that God took that man into heaven more than celebrating the fact that this man went to heaven and he had these divine revelations. So Paul says that he rather remain in his infirmities. He rather remain in his weaknesses and not be celebrated by people. God wants and God's going to get all the glory. God is a jealous God. He will celebrate you. He'll allow people to glorify, to give you praise and adoration, but don't you celebrate yourself. Yeah, because you deflect all the glory to the one that is rightly due. You deflect the glory to God. So then, beginning in verse number 7, which is what we read this morning, beginning in verse number 7, because Paul is concerned about people celebrating this man, and Paul is not wanting people to celebrate himself, he says that God allow a thorn in his flesh. The thorn, he said, came from Satan. It was a buffet of Satan. Why did God allow that? Here it is. To make sure that Paul didn't become arrogant because people were giving him praise. Amen. Faithful servant of God, doing what God had him to do. And yet still God allowed for this issue, this physical issue to happen to Paul because didn't want Paul to get arrogant. Can I just simply say to us that don't you think for a second that if God loves you, he won't check you. He checks you because he loves you. See, what we do a lot of times is, and it's just human nature, we wait until a person gets in trouble, then we criticize. Then we got everything to say. Some of us will try to help, but here's the thing. If you see a person headed for trouble, why not try to stop them before they get to the trouble? Why not try to discourage them before they walk into this situation? And that's what God did here. Before Paul got there, he put something there to keep Paul in check. Whatever that thorn was, it was of a physical-ish nature. We know that it was something physically. The people in Paul's day are just like some of us today. Back in the day, most people considered any kind of physical defect a sign of weakness. So people didn't celebrate Paul as much as they would have if he didn't have that weakness, if he didn't have that physical defect. Yeah, if he was considered perfect in every way, oh, they just would have been praising Paul to the highest. But because he had this thorn in his flesh, he had this physical issue, folk kind of tempered how much they gave Paul praise. Amen. Paul says he prayed 3 different times, asking Jesus to remove the thorn from his flesh. And I don't believe Paul prayed 3 times because he didn't want the thorn so then people would praise him more. I think Paul wanted God to remove that thorn because whatever it was physically discomforting to him. Whatever it was, it created a real issue and problem in his life. So that's why he asked the Lord 3 times to remove it. But every time Jesus said no. 3 times Jesus said no. Church family, sometimes we as preachers and some of us just as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are of the opinion that God is obligated to say yes to all of our requests. He may say yes to all of your requests, and if you do, I want to know you. I want to get up with you now. But he's not obligated to say yes to our requests. He's not obligated to do that. We need to stop giving people that impression that once they get saved, now every day is going to be a rosy day and people won't have any more issues in their life. No. Sometimes God himself says no. And it says it right here in these scriptures. Paul said, I prayed 3 times and every time Jesus said no. Jesus told Paul that his grace, which is his unmerited favor, was enough to help Paul live with the thorn in his flesh. Some things we just got to live with. I don't know why that is, but it just is. Some things we just have to live with. Jesus said he would give Paul his strength as Paul lived with his weakness. Paul could have gotten angry. He could have gotten depressed, but it wouldn't have done him any good. But rather, he made the right decision. He chose to rejoice in his weakness. Jesus gave Paul the strength to do what he wanted Paul to do. And I want to say this to you now, if you're here this morning and you're saved, if you're a Christian, if you've given your life to Jesus, there are 2 things I'm asking you to do today, to consider doing related to these scriptures I've just shared. Here's the first thing. Stop being angry or depressed about the weakness in your life. Stop being angry with yourself. Stop being angry with other folks. Stop being depressed or discouraged about the weakness in your life. Whatever that weakness may be, whether it's physically, maybe something mentally, maybe something emotionally, stop being angry and depressed about it. Because the reasons why you're weak isn't the most important thing. The most important thing is for you to know is that God's grace will be your strength as you move forward in life. Yeah, we need to give God thank you on that one. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God's grace will be your strength as you move forward in life, doing your best to be obedient to his word. Why did I say if you're a Christian? Because if you're not saved, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, God in his grace and in his permissive will, he may bless you the same way, but you don't have that. You don't have that that calling card. You don't have that. You're not qualified. Let me say it that way. Everybody that's saved, you're qualified. Does God discriminate? Yes, he does. Let me tell you how he discriminates. There are some promises that are made to those who are saved. They're not made to those who are not saved. And that's not to put pressure on anybody. That God's not trying to be mean, because he gives you free will. You can choose to follow him or you can choose not to. That's up to you. Yeah. But for those who are saved, there are some special benefits because we're the righteousness of God. So if you're saved this morning, I'm talking to you first and foremost. Number one, again, stop being angry or depressed about the weakness in your life, physically, mentally, emotionally, because God's grace will be your strength. God will do the same for you and me as he did for Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Listen to this. Not that we, you and I, are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Our sufficiency is from God. Don't think you rolling the way you roll because you just got it like that. Yeah. I don't care if every one of us in here were millionaires right now. If God says so, all of our millions wouldn't do us any good. Because y'all have heard me say it before, some things money can't buy. There are some health problems money can't fix for you. There are some emotional issues that money can't fix for you. You know, there are some mental challenges you may have. Money, you can go see a doctor, but that may not in that case be, because it could be of a spiritual nature. See, that's what I'm getting to. So I want you to know now that Paul says there in 2 Corinthians 3 and 5 that not of ourselves that we are sufficient, but our sufficiency, everything we need, comes from God. Here's the second thing I want you to consider this morning. Those of you who are saved, here's the second thing I want you to consider. Number two, rejoice in your weakness. I just got those two things. Here's number two. Rejoice in your weakness. Please hear my heart. I'm not saying we should be happy that we have whatever physical or mental or emotional struggles we may have. I'm not saying you're supposed to be, hey, thank you, Lord, I'm happy, thank you. No, not that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying we should be happy about any issue of sin that's in our lives. And some of us, our weakness is a sin. And we ain't got to get all deep and heavy on that because you know what you're dealing with and I know what I'm dealing with. But for some of us, our weakness is really a sin. It's a sin issue that we're dealing with. Amen. Not that we are actively engaged in that sin on a daily basis. No, but we struggle with it. Yeah, I want to do it. I've stopped doing it. But every once in a while, Stephen, my flesh rises up. And I want to do that thing. Drink that Pepsi Cola the doctor told me I shouldn't drink. I ain't gonna call no names on that one. We all know who I'm talking about, but I ain't gonna call no names. But what I'm saying, so no, don't be, I'm not saying be happy because you've got a sin issue that you deal with. No, don't be happy about it. I'm saying that in spite of our weaknesses, we can still thank Jesus for his unconditional love, because he doesn't stop loving us. We can thank him for his grace. We can thank him for his mercy. And if we need professional help, go get it. God ain't mad with you for going to see the doctor. Don't you know that the only reason why we have doctors is because God allowed it? all the knowledge, medical science, I don't care what area of science it is, if the Lord Jehovah God did not want man to know it, we wouldn't know it. How can you prove that, Pastor? Because there's some things right now man's still trying to figure out that we've been spending the last thousands of years and still not figured them out. What we know, thank you, Lord, is what God wants us to know. So if you need professional help, go get it. Go see that doctor. Go see that specialist. Go see that therapist. I would suggest to you, if you can find one who's saved, that's fine. But if they're not saved, don't mean you can't go see them. But ask somebody. People can help you. People will help you direct you to folks that are saved in those professions. And Christians are everywhere. Christians are in every walk of life. So number two, rejoice in your weakness. Thank God that he still loves you in spite of your weakness. Thank God for his grace in spite of your weakness. Thank God for his mercy in spite of your weakness. And if you need professional help, go get it. And most of all, even in our weakness, thank God for the opportunity to still be used for his glory. Amen. Your weakness does not disqualify you from being used by God. I want to say that to somebody this morning. I'm talking to Edwin first. Your weakness does not disqualify you from being used by God. If you have a do right mind, you love the Lord and you want to be used, God will use you. I know that's right, because if you go back to 2 Corinthians, this same chapter 12, and if you go to verse number 9, look at the B part of verse number 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where we are this morning, verse number 9. Paul says, he was glad to rejoice in his infirmities, in his weaknesses. Why? Because in his rejoicing, it allowed the power of Jesus Christ to come upon him. Amen. When you say, thank you, Lord, in spite of, the power of Jesus Christ will come upon you. Then verse number 10, Paul says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, because people going to talk about you. In hardships, your weakness can be a hardship or bring you hardship. In persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's it, DeVito. That's it. When I am weak and I'm in Christ, then I am strong. Now, if you're weak out of Christ, you just weak. If you're not saved and you weak, you just weak. And whatever consequences come of that. But if you're saved, if you're in Jesus and you're weak, he says his grace is sufficient. And he will be your strength and he will give you strength. I'm closing now. And I leave you with this thought. If you will begin today, all of us, to thank Jesus for our weaknesses. If we thank Jesus for our weaknesses, he will give us strength to overcome those weaknesses. Jesus will use your life to encourage other people. Some unsaved person will see you dealing with your thing and know you're saved and see the power of God on your life in spite of what you're dealing with, and they'll want to know Jesus too. Because they'll see what Jesus is doing for you. And they'll say, and you can tell them he's no respecter of persons. What he did for me, he'll do for you. He'll use your life to draw unsaved people to himself. I thank God for my weaknesses. It was because of my weaknesses, and it was because of your weakness, that God sent Jesus to save us from our sins. Amen. I thank the Lord Jesus that I was weak. Some things I couldn't do for myself. You know one of the things I couldn't do for myself? I couldn't save myself. I couldn't save my own soul. Bible tells me that inside of this flesh, inside of this temple of clay, there's a soul person. And there's a soul person inside of you too. And the Bible says that we were in trouble, all of us headed straight to a burning hell. And I don't care how smart the folks were back in the day, how strong they were back in the day, how much money they had back in the day, they could not save their own souls. But I thank Jesus for our weakness, because then he came and did what we couldn't do. What did he do, preacher? Well, he let people take him to Pilate's judgment hall. He let people falsely accuse him. He let them beat him all night long. He let himself be tortured. He let them talk about him. He let them slap him in his face. He did all that because I was weak. My soul needed to be saved, but I couldn't save myself. Then he pulled an old cross, a heavy cross, 300-400 pounds. He walked it up a hill. Said a man named Cyrus stopped and helped him a little way along the way. They made Cyrus help him, but most of the time Jesus was walking and pulling that cross by himself. He was weak, but I was weaker. He was stronger than me. I couldn't save my soul. You couldn't save your soul. But Jesus was strong enough to save our souls. He let them nail him to that cross. He let them put stakes in his hands and stakes in his feet. He let them pierce him in his side because I was weak. I couldn't have handled it. I would have died as soon as they put the first stake in my hand, but Jesus was strong enough. And the Bible says he took that pain and he took that shame and humiliation because I couldn't save my own soul and you can't save your own soul. Then Jesus let them pierce him in his side. And out came his holy, unblemished blood, his righteous blood that washes away the stains of your sin and my sin. I could not save myself. I couldn't save my own soul. I was weak, but Jesus was strong. He let him put him in a borrowed tomb because he didn't have to stay on that cross. He could have come down anytime he wanted to, but he stayed on that cross until he gave up his own spirit. Then he let him put him in a borrowed tomb. Bible says he stayed there the rest of the day Friday. Bible says he stayed there Saturday morning. Stayed there Saturday noontime. Bible says he stayed there Saturday night. But then early on Sunday morning, the Bible says early on Sunday morning, Jesus Christ got up with all power. All power. Entrusted in his hands. He was strong. He saved my soul. He saved your soul. I couldn't save myself. You couldn't save yourself. But Jesus saved us. I thank God for my weakness. Not only back then, I thank God for my weakness right now. Not that I want it. I don't rejoice in it. I don't celebrate it. But I thank God in spite of my weakness. And you ought to thank God in spite of your weakness. God still loves you. God still provides for you. God still shows you his grace and his mercy. God still makes a way out of no way. When man says no, Jesus still says yes. When man closes one door, Jesus will open five other doors in spite of our weakness. In spite of ourselves. Because in our weakness, Jesus shows his strength. Let's give God some glory.